John chapter number 10, we'll try to finish this chapter up. Last week we ended up at verse 14, and I just want to review. What I'm doing here is making 10 points out of chapter 10 about the Lord Jesus Christ. This study on Wednesday night is called Joying in Jesus. We're just looking at things in the Gospel of John for us to rejoice in about the Lord. And so far we have made 6 observations from John chapter number 10. And by way of review, the first 6 were these from last week's study. Number 1, Jesus is the door. Jesus is the door. We see that in verse 1, 2, 7, and 9. 4 times Jesus is called the door. If you're here tonight and you're spiritually minded and you're concerned about eternity and you're eternal destination, and you'd like to go to heaven, there is a way, and only one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the door. We want to encourage you to know the Lord as your Savior tonight. Number 2, I said last week, Jesus is the shepherd that leads us to the door. 6 times he is called a shepherd here. He's called a shepherd in this chapter more than in any chapter of the Bible. In verses 2, 11, 12, 14, and 16, 6 times Jesus is called the shepherd, and twice it is preceded by the adjective good, the good shepherd, the good shepherd, the good shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. And then number 3, Jesus has a discernible voice to all of his sheep. We read that truth in verses 4, 14, and 27. 3 different places in this chapter, Jesus said words to the effect that his sheep hear or recognize or know his voice. And again, last week I talked more about shepherds, and I've seen some shepherds when I've been in different parts of the world, Israel, Germany, and they, sheep are dumb animals, but they're smart enough to know their shepherd's voice. And if somebody else, if you or I walked up to them and started calling them, even if we called them by name, they would not follow us because they do not recognize our voice. And those of you that know the Lord, you know his voice. It's not audible, but you know when he's speaking to you. And perhaps tonight, some of you may hear the Lord Jesus speak to you personally for the first time ever. But any one of you that has ever been saved can remember a time where the Lord spoke to your heart and you understood it was the Lord and you trusted in him. Number 4 last week, Jesus alone can save us. Jesus alone can save us. And as was mentioned in the questions earlier, this was 4, 5, and 6. Jesus is our Savior. Number 5, Jesus is our satisfier, and Jesus is our shepherd. He can shepherd us. So those were the points we covered last week. Jesus alone can save us. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Amen. That's good news. And he can satisfy us. Look at the end of verse 9 and 10. It said, and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's all that matters to a sheep, is that they find pasture. You know, they're not that worried about any other kind of entertainment or anything. They just want to be satisfied. They're very easily satisfied. The Lord can satisfy us. In Psalm 23:1, the most famous psalm probably in the world, the first verse says what? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then let him be your shepherd, he will also be your satisfier. This is why so many believers in Christ end up giving up alcohol and drugs and promiscuity, and they got no use for, you know, a lot of things on TV, and they start giving up hobbies and sports and so on and so forth, and because they just find the more they get to know the Lord, the more they follow him, the more he satisfies. And the less they need those things. And money comes into proper perspective, and things come into proper perspective, and they don't need a cool car anymore, and more money, and all kinds of stuff, because The more you get to know Jesus, the more you follow him, the more he satisfies you, and the less of those things you find yourself needing. He is the all-sufficient one. It's one of his names. El Shaddai is the Hebrew word. It means the all-sufficient one. That if you really get to know Christ as your Savior and really follow him as your shepherd, he'll satisfy you. You'll go in and out of the sheepfold of life, so to speak, and constantly be satisfied. He'll lead you to pasture, and you won't go looking for other things. And he can shepherd us. So that's where we ended up last week. I want to see a few more things tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. And one is that Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. All right, he's contrasted in this portion of Scripture with a hireling. Look down now, we went down, we actually finished verse 14, but go back to 12. It says, but he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. There's a contrast here between a shepherd and a hireling. A hireling is someone who just does it for the money. They don't care about the sheep. They're there for the money, but as soon as some danger approaches, a wolf approaches, they desert the flock, caring more about themselves than they do about the flock. And then the wolf gets to the flock, scatters the flock. You can just see them all. I don't know if you've ever seen sheep, but they all stick close together. They're all like in a big oval around a shepherd going down the field. I've seen this over and over again. And one starts to stray, and they send out the sheep dogs after them. They nip at their heels and get them back in to the flock. And this is how God wants us to be. It's a good picture, I think, of the church. We ought to stay in church. And sometimes you can get away from church and away from fellowship and be endangered thereby. There is a character called the thief in verse 10, cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That sheep is mentioned up in verse 1. He's a conniving fellow that doesn't come through the door but climbs over the sheepfold and steals sheep, takes them away. And this is a reference to the devil, I believe, if you'll compare other scriptures. The same thing with the wolf, I think, verse 12, another picture of the devil. You can pretend that's not real and go through life and be destroyed, or you can stay close to the Lord and be safe. But there is a spiritual warfare going on around your life, every one of us in this room. And the sooner you acknowledge it, the safer you'll be. Stay close to the Lord. So hirelings flee, but the good shepherd doesn't. I want you to notice something about the good shepherd. We're talking about Jesus, the good shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep. That's number 7. He lays down his life. If you've never done this, underline these words in verse 11 in your Bible. Underline the words, giveth his life for the sheep. And then look at verse 15. I lay down my life for the sheep. Look at verse 17. I lay down my life that I might take it again. Look at verse 18. I lay it down of myself. 4 times Jesus is saying here prophetically, I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep. 4 times he mentions that. I lay down my life for the sheep. Now remember, this is just months before his crucifixion. About 4 months, 5-6 months before his crucifixion. And where he's giving this discourse, and he's telling them what he's going to do. He says 4 times, I just showed you where, he said, I'm going to lay down my life. See, Jesus, you know, we know the story. He was captured by Judas and the soldiers and so on and taken off and bound and all that kind of stuff. But he gave up his life. That was all part of the plan, part of the fulfillment of prophecy, that would happen. But He said, I can call 12 legions of angels at any time to deliver me. And he said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down myself. This is how much the Lord loves you and me tonight. The Lord Jesus laid down his life for us. And he's telling his disciples that. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. You and I that are believers in Christ are his sheep. He gives his life for the sheep. Verse 11, everything Jesus does is for us. What did he ever do for himself when he walked the earth? And the same thing today. He ever liveth, the scripture says today, to make intercession for us according to the will of God. But I want you to notice something in verse 18. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And just an interesting side note here that I think is worth considering is that Jesus said, I not only have power to lay down my life, but I can take it up again. Turn back to chapter 2, and it's been a while since we've been in chapter 2, but look at verse 19 just to remind ourselves of what Jesus had said earlier in his life. 2:19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days, what's the next word? I will raise it up. You know, you can find a whole bunch of verses, and I won't do this tonight for time's sake, but you can find a whole bunch of verses in the Bible that say that God raised up Jesus from the dead, the Father. You can find verses that say the Holy Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead. And you can find verses where Jesus said, I'll raise myself up. Now, what do those things do? Look for those things in your Bible study. What that does is proves what we call the doctrine of the Trinity, the triune God. That God does exist eternally in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So don't get confused about those things and say, well, wait a minute, who is raising him up from the dead? They're all one God who exists eternally in three persons, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said here in chapter 2:19, destroy this temple, and he was speaking about his body, in 3 days I'll raise it up again. So, then number 8, Jesus knows his sheep. Not only do they hear his voice, but he knows his sheep. We see in chapter 10 here in verse number 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. You know if you're saved tonight or not. He lets you know. His spirit bears witness with your spirit that we are the children of God. We're told in the book of Romans and chapter 8. And if you're confused about that tonight, you say, well, wait a minute, I don't know if I'm God's child. Well, maybe you're not, and you ought to humbly consider becoming one of God's children by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and receiving him as your Savior tonight, because Jesus knows his sheep. Now, it's very important. It says, he knows his sheep, verse 14, and am known of mine. Now, why is that important? If you want to turn back to Matthew, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, here's the scary verse. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. He didn't say, I knew you once, but you lost your salvation. He said, I never, ever knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And that's talking about the everlasting punishment there. But notice he says, I never knew you. And these are people who are preaching. Just picture yourself the terror of the judgment day as they said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. But I spent my life being a clergyman or being a lay preacher, working in this ministry or that ministry. And We cast out devils in your name. We use your name to do exorcisms on people who are troubled by Satan. In your name, we did many wonderful works. We built churches and orphanages and food banks and all kinds of things. But then the Lord will profess unto them, I never knew you. See, being a member of the Christian religion has never saved anybody. You must know Christ and he must know you. Verse 14, again, back in John 10. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep. What did he just say to those people in Matthew? I never knew you. I never knew you. Yes, you got involved in all kinds of religion in my name, but I never knew you personally. He says, I know my sheep and am known of mine. And am known of mine. He confirms to you whether or not you are saved. And so Jesus knows his sheep. Look down, let's get a little ahead of ourselves in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The old prophet Nahum, and I'll read this, don't turn to it. But in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7 in the Old Testament, it says, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. He knows who the true believers are. He knows those that have a head knowledge, which doesn't get the job done, and those who have a heart knowledge of Christ. We're told with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Everybody almost believes in a head knowledge of Christ. He was a historical figure, a religious figure like a Muhammad or like some famous person, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. He's a fact in history. Everybody in their head believes in Jesus Christ. But the Bible says with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And the old saying is, don't miss heaven by 18 inches, the distance between your head and your heart. Trust in the Lord as your Savior from your heart. The Lord knows them that are his. In fact, he knows them so well, he has a book. Called the Book of Life in heaven, and he's got the names of all of those who have trusted in him as their Savior recorded in there, and those that have sinned and have never received Christ as their Savior, the unpardonable sin, their names are blotted out. And someday that book at the judgment day is going to be consulted, and they're going to look down there for my name, and my name's going to be in there because of nothing that I ever did. I didn't deserve it, didn't merit it. But there's going to be my name down there and the date back in 1969 when I trusted in Christ as my Savior and received him by faith. The Lord knows them that are his. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life tonight? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? And it doesn't matter whether you're on our church rolls. Your name on our church rolls isn't going to get anyone to heaven. There's only one place you ought to be concerned about tonight that your name is, and that is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And because Jesus knows his sheep. Look at verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I know them, and they follow me. And verse 28 is precious. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall, what's the next word? Never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my mouth. Here we have a promise of eternal life to those that hear Jesus' voice and know him as their Savior. And then we're up to number 9 here. Jesus considers the Gentiles that get saved as his sheep also. Now this was a strange truth to... I hope you ushers keep counting these men that are walking in here for the men's team tonight. I'm impartial, though, remember. I'm the only one in the church, not on the team. So, anyways, this was a very strange teaching right here. Let's go back to John chapter 10. It says here in verse 16 we're up to, and other sheep have I, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold, and one shepherd. Now, he's talking here about the Gentiles. Prior to this point, Jesus said, remember one time a Gentile lady came up to him and wanted to be healed, and he said, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus was actually an Old Testament prophet who had come to the lost sheep of Israel. But he's teaching here to Peter and Andrew and James and John and Philip and Bartholomew and all of his 12 apostles. He's teaching, listen, he says, you're in the fold right now. All of you that are following me are Jews, but there's another fold that I'm going to bring with you. That I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Now, this is good night. We're talking about joying in Jesus tonight. Most of us here are Gentiles, okay? And we ought to thank the Lord for verse 16 here. Now, these guys didn't get it, even though he said it to them. You remember what happened later on? Christ did die for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And he said, go all before he ascended into heaven, he said to these Jews, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Boy, they hated the Samaritans, didn't they? And the uttermost parts of the earth. But did they obey? No, they didn't obey. They just stayed right there in Jerusalem, right? Now, a couple of the Jews obeyed, like Philip, the evangelist. He went out and just got a bunch of Gentiles saved, Ethiopian eunuch, and so on and so forth. So some of them did obey, But Philip wasn't one of these guys. He was an evangelist, later a deacon, actually, who became an evangelist. But for the most part, they just went around preaching the gospel to Jews. Perhaps even for years, we're not sure how long between this and Acts chapter 8. That's when the persecution hit Jerusalem and they all fled for their lives. And as they went and preached, Gentiles started getting saved. And they had a big convention in Acts 15. Remember that back in Jerusalem? They said, yeah, you know, these Gentiles are believing just like we are, and their evidences are there that they're really getting saved. So these are a bunch of hard-headed guys right here that didn't get it for a while, but they finally agreed way later in history in Acts 15. You know, Jesus was telling us the truth. He was telling us the truth here in verse 16 when he said, and other sheep have I which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And they finally decided, you know, Jesus was telling the truth in Acts 15. And then what happened in Acts 16? Europe got saved. They went to Macedonia for the first time and started preaching the gospel. And the gospel spread through Europe, and then, of course, came to America and came to your heart one day. And my heart, and the Lord saved us Gentiles just as fast as he saved the Jew. And if you have your Bible open to John 10:16, I want you to write next to verse 16 this reference. We won't take time to read it tonight. But write down next to verse 16 in your Bible, Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 19. It's a good reference that tells us where he out of two, he made one. Both Jews and Gentiles. Ephesians 2, 11 through 19. So next time you read that, you'll go there and read that reference. And you'll be able to see that, in fact, the Jews and the Gentiles all can be saved by believing in Christ. And turn back right now, though, to Matthew chapter 8, and then I'll give you one more point after this for tonight. Matthew 8 and verse 11. Here's another great verse. They didn't get it, but thank God for it. Jesus here is talking to a centurion in verse 5, Matthew 8. He helps the centurion. The centurion is a Gentile. He's probably a Roman centurion, and they can't believe Jesus is actually helping this fella. And they heard all this, and they marveled, verse 10, and they said, verily, he marveled, Jesus did. And said, verily, verily, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I haven't found a Jew that has much faith in me as this Gentile does. And then he says this, and again, this is a prophecy that should give all of us Gentiles that are here tonight a smile on our face. He said, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and, what's the next word? Amen. Put your name in there. Circle the word west there. And that's us. That's America. and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. You got these Jewish patriarchs. A whole bunch of people from the East, Asia, and so on, the Orient, and people from the West, you know, Canada, Mexico, America, places like that. Jesus is saying, look, there's coming a day when people are going to come from the East and the West and sit down in the kingdom of heaven. And but back in our text here, John 10, they didn't quite understand it. But I just wanted to bring that out tonight so you could rejoice in that tonight. That's something to joy in. Number 9, Jesus considers the Gentiles that get saved his sheep also. Let's read that verse and then we'll close. And other sheep also have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I will bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. One fold. And one shepherd. So you might as well get used to everybody else, all right? Don't have any prejudice or racism about you, because the Lord doesn't have any. And there's going to be people out of every nation and kindred and tongue in heaven, according to Revelation 7, verse 9. Now, last of all, number 10, Jesus holds on to his sheep and loses none of them. Jesus holds on to his sheep and loses none of them. Again, that ought to give you some joy tonight, because it's not us. Salvation is not us holding on to Jesus. It's Jesus holding on to us. Because if it was us holding on to Jesus, we would let loose. But it's him holding on to us. Notice how he holds on to us. Go down to verse 27. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now notice this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is what we call eternal life or eternal security. The Lord gives us eternal life, verse 28. If you'll hear Jesus' voice and come and trust him as your Savior, he'll give you tonight eternal life. Notice in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. It's not something you earn, it's something he gives. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Rewards in heaven, those are earned, but salvation to get there is a gift. It's a gift that must be received. Four times in Romans chapter 5, it's called the free gift. It's not something you have to work for, earn, or pay for. It's free. It's something you have to receive. John 1 and verse 12 says, but as many as received him, Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that have believed on his name. Paul told the Colossians, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? How do you do that? In Romans 10:13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll believe on Christ and receive him as your Savior by calling on him, he will save you from your life of sin, from the penalty of sin, and give you eternal life. Boy, if that doesn't give you joy tonight, I don't know what can. Because if your record is as full of as much sin as mine is, you're in trouble. And so was I, but I came and found there's a Savior. That's why he's called a Savior. What's the sense of calling him a Savior if you can save yourself? But over and over and over the Bible, he's called a Savior. At his birth, the angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Have you ever let Jesus save you from your sins by receiving him? When he does, he holds on to you. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The Lord saves you and kind of holds you in his hand, and they shall never, ever, ever perish. That word perish means to lose, to destroy, or it means a reversal. Study that word out. It means a reversal. And they shall never perish. So there's 10 things to rejoice in. I know we didn't read all the verses out of John 10, but there's a bunch of things there that you can rejoice in the Lord. Do you know him tonight? Let's bow our heads right now and close our eyes for a word of prayer.